Got Bible, turn to Mark chapter 1. As we were looking at last week, we're in a new series based on invitation and challenge, which is the kind of culture that we want to create. If we're going to be a discipling culture, we need to be a culture with both invitation and challenge. But it's got to be a good balance between the two. And so what we're doing is we're looking at Jesus' use of invitation and challenge. He used a perfect balance between the two. So we're going to read. So last week we looked at verse 15 in Mark chapter 1, saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Saying that Jesus then was inviting us into the kingdom of God, but he was also at the same time challenging people to repent and to believe. It was a challenge to actually be part of the kingdom of God. It's all very well saying, oh, that's great, I can be part of it, but actually the challenge to it. And so this week, we're looking at the next bit, and focusing on verse 17. So Mark chapter 1, verse 16, it's the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them and left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, I don't know what your response would be to some bloke randomly coming up to you saying, follow me. But in this context, these guys said, yes, okay, we'll do that. In that context, to follow a teacher in the way that the disciples followed Jesus, to leave your family would have been a huge thing. They would have deliberated for months over whether or not to follow this guy who's called them to follow him. But that's what he did. And so verse 17, and Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fish for people. And we all know the other translation, I'll make you fishers of men. But we're in a politically correct society and women are just as important as men. Have always been just as important to men, to God as well as, you know, forever. So let's make that clear. So we're going to say we're going to call them fish for people. And so there's an invitation to fish for people. Now, Bruce Almighty, you remember Bruce Almighty? I've spoken about Bruce quite a lot. He's a really good sermon illustration, Bruce Almighty. You remember this where this scene is taken from? He says, well, God can fix my life in 5 minutes if he wanted to, but he's like a mean kid. He'd rather burn off my feelers and watch me squirm. And that's what Bruce Almighty thinks about God. You notice when, after that point, when God actually came in to Bruce's life, what happened? Actually, not a lot changed in Bruce, did it? Just because Bruce could right all the wrongs in his life didn't actually mean that his life changed for good. In fact, he made life a lot worse for everybody else, even though his own life was okay. And that is the challenge and the invitation for us. It's the challenge to fish for people, but actually it's also the challenge to change, to be different. The invitation is to be fishers of men, but the challenge is to actually follow Jesus. And it means you have to change. If you read that, there's a minister there, if you look at him, he's on the left, and this rather loud woman in the middle is talking. We're hoping you'll lead us on a journey of transformation without requiring any real changes. Are any of us like that when it comes to God? When God invites us to be part of what he's doing in the world and we say, okay, God, I'll be part of what you're doing, but don't ask me to change. Don't ask me to be any different to what I am now. And this is the challenge and that we have before us, to be a follower of Jesus. And so, if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we've got to be serious about changing. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, there are, as always, well not always, but sometimes, three things. The first thing is we've got to die to self. And we'll talk about what that means. Then we've got to continue in his word. And we need to be fruitful. Simple as that. We've got to die to self. It's really simple. Just die to self. Yeah, that's really easy. What are you talking about, Ian? Luke 9:23. This is Jesus talking. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. If anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Some of the most challenging words in the whole of the New Testament. Deny self. We don't like to deny ourselves. We like to eat nice things, don't we? We say, oh, that chocolate cake looks nice. I shouldn't have it, but I'm going to. And so we don't know how to deny ourselves. We don't discipline ourselves at all. I remember talking to me and Ian Murray about when we were going around devices praying, and I was really hungry because it was like 1 o'clock, and I normally eat lunch at sort of 12:15. And so I was like, I was hungry. And he said, discipline your stomach. We don't want to discipline ourselves. We'd rather do what we want to do. This is the beginning of discipleship, not the end. This is not the pinnacle of discipleship to deny self. Oh, I've truly learned how to deny myself. No. This is the start. What it means to deny yourself, it literally means you say no to self and yes to Christ. That's literally what it means. You say no to self and yes to Christ. Self wants to do what self wants, but Jesus wants you to do something different. Sometimes the two agree. Most of the time they don't. And so we do this. We put up an access denied sign. You know, you get up computers all the time. Access denied. You don't have the right credentials. You're not approved. For some reason, you don't have the clearance level to get to this. You're not good enough. Access denied. And so what we do is we put up an access denied to Jesus. And we say, actually Jesus, there's this couple of bits in my life. You're not allowed to see those bits. Sorry. Access denied. When he wants to come in. And that's not right. That's not what Jesus requires of us. He says if you're going to deny yourself, he's going to have access to the whole thing. He's Jesus. He's the Lord of all. What does the Bible say? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And all who dwell in it. And that means your brain and your thoughts. He needs access to it all. If we're going to deny self, we've got to give Jesus access to the whole thing. We can't put up an access denied. If we're going to be people who follow Jesus, more importantly, going back to the vision of the church, if we're going to be a people without barriers, we cannot put up an access denied sign to Jesus and say, hang on, there's a barrier here, Jesus, you can't get over this. And the reality is, Jesus already knows all that stuff that you don't want him to see. He can see it all anyway. So there's no point saying he can't see it. And he's not allowed to touch it. He's not allowed to do something in it. If we're going to be people who make a difference and follow Jesus, if we're going to be fishers of people, if we're going to bring people into the kingdom and make a difference in the world, we've got to let Jesus in. We've got to deny ourselves. How do we do that? And we do it very simply. One word. Surrender. It's not a nice word. Nobody likes surrender. It invokes connotations in us of feelings of, I've given up. I've let somebody else win. And actually the reality is, it's not that you're in a fight with God and you've let God win and somehow you've lost. It's not about that. It's about giving him control of your life. Why would you want anyone or anything else to be in control of your life when you don't know what's best for you? The world doesn't know what's best for you. The devil certainly doesn't want what's best for you. Why would you want anything else in the world to control you other than your Creator, your Father God, who loves you and wants the best for you? We've got to surrender. We've got to give up what we want. If we want to see a difference in the world, we've got to deny self, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. If we're going to be fishers of men, if we're going to be a church without barriers, we've got to do that. That's the beginning. And it starts there. But then, there's this other verse that talks about continuing in God's word. We can't just stop there at the denying self. We've actually got to carry on. John says, or Jesus says in John's gospel, to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you continue in my word. Other translations use abide and that kind of thing. Or if you stand firm in my word, some translations say. And what that means is it signifies a determination, a strong determination, or a settled determination to live by the word of Christ. It means that you're not happy, you don't have a wavering heart. There's not this wishy-washy, go from one week and the next to the other. It's an unwavering heart. It doesn't mean that you don't change your mind. It just means that you're settled and determined to abide, to continue in Jesus' word. And indeed, in John 15, he says, if you abide in me, it's actually abiding in Jesus as well. If you allow yourself to be found in Jesus, it means that you will listen to what Jesus says all the time. It means that you will pay attention and reflect. How do you feel? How does the word make you feel? You'll do something with the word. You'll stick like glue to the word. And then it means you'll actually do what he says. That's what that word continue means. And we do this with hundreds of things across our life. Some people overemphasize things in their life. And that becomes a thing, that becomes a thing they continue in. Some people continue in their education. And I know people that have spent thousands upon thousands of pounds just to get another degree. Just to do another qualification. Why? Because education is the be all and end all as far as they're concerned. The more they know, the better off they're going to be. Well friends, you can acquire all the knowledge in the world. What does Paul say? Without love, I'm nothing. Education is not salvation. The Democrats in America, education is the silver bullet. That's the thing that's going to save the nation. No, it's not. It might help, but it's not the thing that's going to save the nation. And they do it with their children. And so they send their kids off to the best schools and all the rest of it. That's just an example of one thing that people continue in. They settled and determined to stick like glue to education. Actually, Jesus says, no, my word. Other people stick like glue to other things. Whether it's sexual orientation or... And by the way, sexual orientation is not your identity. If you're gay, you're gay. I don't care. Don't bother me. That's between you and the Lord. That's not your identity, because your identity is in Christ. That's the only thing that matters. But if you're clinging to this orientation thing, what's that going to do with anything? It's a lie. It's basically, if we continue, other people do it with their families. And they're all about the family. Oh, if the family could just be what I want it to be. Well, you set yourself up for disappointment with that, because your family's never going to be what you want it to be. Ever. Because you're relying on other people. But if you continue in God's word, if you continue in Jesus, it's going to be a completely different story. If we are continuing in anything other than Jesus and his word, it's idolatry. Simple as that. It's idolatry. And we know how God hates idolatry because he tells the people of Israel, if you do this, if you go and follow after other gods, what is he going to do? I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth. But God, you're supposed to be loving. And he says, yes, I'm loving, but I'm also just. And part of my love is my justice. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't care. God doesn't want to wipe his people off the earth. But if he's chosen them to be his people, then you've got to take what he says seriously. And we've got to continue in his word. And you know, there are other people who, they follow celebrity. We have this thing in our culture. I want to be famous. Why do you want to be famous? Oh, I don't know why. I just want to be famous. And so now we have people on TV, and they'll go on these shows, and you're looking at them saying, why are they famous? Oh, they're famous for being famous. Can anybody explain that to me? it is absolutely ridiculous. People who are famous for the sake of being famous. Why do you want to be famous? Well, because I want to be famous. Well, friends, you'll have your 15 minutes of fame, but then it'll be gone. Nobody will remember who you are. And you get people that follow the celebrities, and what do? They read everything they can about their favourite celebrity. You know, you get these crazy fan people, and they read everything they can about their celebrity. They eat the same diet, they wear the same clothes if they can afford it, if not, they buy the thing that's closest to it. You know, some people, I've seen programs of these people on TV, they even go so far as to change the way they look, so they look more like the person that they're trying to emulate, the celebrity. And what do we say of those people? It's a bit sad, isn't it? Friends, you do exactly the same thing if you follow anything other than Jesus and his words. It's no different. How do we live that out? Change direction. Go to God. Continue his word. How do we do that? Well, they're busy today. Oh dear. Bless the Lord. How do we do that? Read. I don't have preachers very often in this church because I didn't think I need to, but I'm thinking I need to now, a bit more. How many of us are reading our Bibles every day? And I'm not talking about read the word for the day when it's got like a half of a cobbled together verse and it's not the whole thing. I'm not knocking the word for the day, but I'm just saying, how many of us actually read our Bibles every day? Chunks of it. Not to memorize it, but read bits of it, like a chapter or more than just a verse. Because you can't continue in his word if you don't know it. I've done the Bible of the Year several times now. I must have read the Bible, I don't know, dozens of times. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read the Bible. You've got to read the word. If you don't know the word, you've got to read it to know it. It's the first thing. If we're going to radically reorientate our God, ourselves to continue his word, we've got to read the Bible. But it's not just enough to just read it, we've got to meditate on it. What do I mean by meditate? I'm not talking about Eastern mysticism, that you kind of sit and empty your mind. Look at that. Meditate on the word. Allow the word to, you know, there's another way, you could say, call it dwelling in the word. And allow the word to read you. So as you read, meditate on it. How does it make you feel? If you were in the situation, what can you see? What can you smell? What can you feel? If Jesus was saying that to you, what how does it make you feel? What challenges you? What encourages you? What's the invitation? What's the challenge? Meditate on it. It might just be a phrase. It might be a whole verse. That's when you go from the chunk to, you know, from the macro to the micro. You go from the big chunk to the individual verse or phrase or word. And then, as you meditate on it, you can begin to internalize it. And when I say internalize, what I'm talking about is that it begins to live in you. It's really difficult to describe unless you've experienced it. It becomes part of who you are. And not that you become one of these crazy charismatic Christians, don't get me wrong, I love them, but you know the ones. They come up to you and they've got a scripture verse for every single thing they quote. And you just think, oh come on, come get off it. So I'm not talking, you don't have to be like that. But it just means that as you go through life, scripture is internalized. It means that, like the persecuted church in North Korea, they're desperate for just like a piece of scripture. And they memorize that whole thing so that that's all they cling to. And they can quote scripture to you because they've not been able to have their Bible in the labor camp. It's been taken off on a burn. But internalize it so it becomes part of who you are. And then quote scripture over your life. Quote scripture over your life. So that you are coming into alignment with the truth of what God says, who God says you are. We sing the song, we sang it last week. You know, I am who you say I am. Quote scripture over yourself. It is the way to renew your mind. And then, the third thing, be fruitful. John 15, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. What were the first words? Excuse me. What were the first words to the first people in the Garden of Eden? Be fruitful and multiply. It's God's thing. That's what he does. What do cells do? They multiply. How do we grow? Cell growth, multiplication. 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to whatever else after that, because my mouth isn't so great. But it reproduces. We reproduce, we grow. That's how things grow, reproduction. And that's what God wants to do. And he says here, bear much fruit. I should have wrote the Greek down so I could quote the Greek to you, because I was looking at the Greek this week. And it's different. Because bear much fruit. The word fruit is to produce fruit. So why say bear much fruit? Well, bear is not like a bear. Ah, I'm going to get you. But it means to bring from one place to another. Bear much fruit. Bring from one place to another. So that tells me that when Jesus is telling me I've got to bear much fruit, he's telling me that to reproduce myself, I've got to bring other people from one place, in other words, a place without Christ, to another place, in other words, a place with Christ. Bearing much fruit is basically another way of saying we've got to make disciples who make disciples. Reproduce ourselves in other people, because that's what Jesus did. I thought that was quite an appropriate picture. A mother hen with her chicks. She's reproduced. We need to reproduce. Here's the challenge, folks, about being fruitful. If we're not reproducing, we're dead. Simple as that. If we're not reproducing, we're dead. We're not doing what Christ has called us to do. We do it. How do we do it? Making disciples who make disciples with surrendered hearts. We've got to be surrendered to do what God wants us to do. And that brings us to John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Basically, if we're staying in the commandments of Jesus, if we're listening to the words of Jesus and internalizing them and doing what it says, we will be fruitful. And this reminds me of the parable of the fig tree. There's a picture of a very large fig tree. Fig trees, if they're allowed to, can grow to be absolute ginormous trees. They're huge. And the parable of the fig tree, you know the parable. Jesus tells the story of a farmer or a vineyard owner. He comes to this fig tree and he tells the gardener, chop this fig tree down, because it's not bearing any fruit. It's a waste of space. And the gardener, very wise, says, let me put some fertilizer around it for a year, and if it starts to yield fruit in a year's time, then we'll keep it. If not, we'll chop it down. And then the parable just kind of ends. And you're like, what? Why is it just ending there? Simple. The interpretation is clear. If we're not bearing fruit, the only good thing for us is to be chopped down and done away with. That is a startling parable. But we need to take heed. Some of us have been like, we're like the fig tree. I count myself in this. I'm not saying that any one of you in particular. I'm just counting myself in this as well. We've been fertilized too much. We've been fertilized for decades and decades and decades, but we're not bearing any fruit as a result of being fertilized. But we can turn it around. We can start to bear fruit. And it means we have to make disciples who make disciples. How do we do it? Change the culture of the church to be invitation and challenge, kingdom and covenant. The series after this one will look at kingdom and covenant, and it very much goes along the same lines as invitation and challenge. So we need to be fruitful. Excuse me. So the invitation here, back to Mark chapter 1, he says, follow me and I will make you fish for people. If we're going to be fishers for people, we're going to fish for people, we need to give God full access. Dwell in his word always, and we need to be fruitful. I don't know what God's been saying to you as I've been talking. I pray that he's been saying something. Whether it's just the invitation to follow him afresh, and that's fine. If that's all you feel God's saying to you right today is just follow me again, that's, praise the Lord. Maybe for some of us on the fruitful thing, we recognize that we're like that fig tree. We've been fertilized for decades. Decades and decades, but actually we're not bearing any fruit. We're not reproducing. And I don't mean in the biological sense. I mean in the spiritual sense. Maybe for others of us, you know, we've read the Bible, but some of it's hard, and we don't like it. We don't like those bits in Joshua where he says, kill all the people, the women and the children, and we get really upset by that, and our English sensitivities can't quite cope with it. And so we just gave up. We read a bit, and then we just kind of think, well, I'll just stick to the New Testament. That's not the fullest revelation of God. You need the whole thing, old and new. And so maybe God's just challenging you again to just say, do you know what? He's nudging you. Just read the word again. Start with Mark's gospel, because that's nice and easy. And don't start with Genesis. Whatever you do, don't start in Genesis. Start with Mark's gospel. And then if you want a bit more mystical, if you want a bit more historical, go to Luke. And then after Luke, read Matthew, because it's more Jewish. And then read John, because John will blow your mind, because you're like, what is he talking about? And then read Hebrews. Well, no, don't read Hebrews. Read the Old Testament and then read Hebrews, and then you'll understand the Old Testament. Maybe God's just challenging, nudging you. I want to get a passion for the Word. Maybe for some of us, though, and I put myself in this category, we need to deny ourselves. Maybe we've said yes to self too long and no to Christ for too long, and we need to start saying yes to Christ. And that means we've got to change, and we don't want to do it. We'd like you to lead us through transformation, but without making any real changes. And Jesus says, no, can't do that. If you want to change, if you want to receive real transformation, you've got to change. Maybe some of us need to deny ourselves afresh. I don't know what God's saying to you, and I don't know what you feel you need to do about it. We're going to spend a moment in quiet and just say, Holy Spirit, come in this moment. And we open, if this is helpful for you, open your hands, maybe just on your lap. Just open, as a sign towards God, saying, Lord, I want to receive what you have for me today. Lord, what are you saying to me today? And what do you want me to do about it? And just spend a moment in quiet and ask him to tell you something. Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name and give us a revelation of what you're saying to us. Recall to mind a memory that might need to be healed. Lord, if there's somebody who needs to deny themselves afresh today, make it clear to them. And Lord, for all of us, ignite a passion for your word, a fresh passion for the word. And for all of us, make us fruitful, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you know where we're at in our walk with you. Maybe some of us for the first time are just hearing that invitation of Jesus to follow me. Lord, I pray for those that have heard that invitation, that challenge, to respond according to your will. Lord, some of us may have heard that invitation to just be fishers of people for the first time. Oh, what? That includes me? Yes. Lord, I pray that we would respond in a way that denies ourselves and says yes to Jesus. And So Father, we want to confirm what you've been saying to us. We want to pray that anything that I've said that's just not helpful would fall to the ground, but that your word would be ignited in our hearts afresh. Lord, give us a fresh passion to reproduce, to make disciples who make disciples, in whatever way that is possible, in the way especially that you're leading us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue in our response as we sing.